This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Office Manager Diaries. It's great to have you here, and season two is really flying by now. We have another brilliant guest joining me today, who is Lindsay Wright. She's the Office Manager at DF Concerts and Events. Hi Lindsay, welcome to the Office Manager Diaries.
Hi Hannah, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure, thank you so much for being on and giving up some of your time to share your journey and your office management diary with us. We're going to start a little differently today and ask you to please, first of all, share what office management means to you. I find there are so many different perspectives and a lot of confusion on this role. So it would be great to get your opinion on what the fundamentals of office management are to you.
So I actually look after two offices here at DF Concerts. We've got a three-story building and then another one-story building a few doors down. So basically my day-to-day is, it changes every single day, to be quite honest. A lot of my job entails, like, obviously the health and safety of the company, of the office, making sure everything is safe for all the employees, solving a lot of IT issues. That's a lot in my day-to-day as well. And just in general, making sure all of our employees are comfortable and they've got all they need to be able to do their job efficiently.
Amazing. And for you, just a bit broader, what does office management mean as a broader role in your experience, and how do you think people are perceiving it, or why do you think there's so much confusion on the role? As to is it the variety, for example, and that's why people can't quite pin down what exactly it is?
People perceive it differently because so much of it is behind the scenes from what they do. Like, we're all very separate roles in this company, and we've got so many different departments dealing with very, very different things. Everything I do is in the background, seamless. Like, they won't know that I've fixed an issue. Like, they won't have even seen that there's been an issue that it has to be fixed. So I think they just know that I'm just here to solve problems, basically. It is so different for everyone in each role, and each office as well. All different office managers will do different things, making sure the office runs smoothly for everyone, essentially. Anyone's got a problem, I'll solve it for them. They'll all come to me. They know they can trust me to fix any issues that they've got. There's a lot of financial aspects to running the office as well that people won't know about. They'll ask me if I can buy something in, and then I'll need to go and make sure that we've got budget for it, which is what they probably don't appreciate, that it has to be costed and stuff. And obviously things over a certain level, I have to get sign off from my manager as well. There's a lot of that people just think things just appear.
It's the office fairies again, isn't it? I think this comes up a lot, and this analogy, have you heard about the gliding swan through the water where your legs are paddling at 100 miles an hour? That's come up an awful lot, certainly in the Office Manager Diaries podcast, but also in shows and things that we've done and training sessions that we've held. I hear that an awful lot, where people just think that there is this graceful, you know, altogether person or team running the show, and actually there's so much beyond and above that and all around it, really, that happens and that has to happen in order to run that office, or the offices, as you say, if you've got multiple. So what is DF Concerts and Events? What else do you do there, and how do you support the business more effectively in your role?
Okay, so DF Concerts and Events are a music promotion company, and we also put on festivals throughout the year, outdoor shows, and I think we've got like up to 1,000 concerts throughout the year, who from start to beginning. So they do all the production of it, they do the ticket sales, the marketing, and then we've got an event team who will go out on site over the summer and put on, like, TransMet Festival, their biggest festival. So they'll be out over the summer for a couple of months on various different outdoor events, and they put that all together as well, from the build of it to the production stages, everything like that. We'll turn on our events in the summer, which is quite an exciting part of this job that I do as well. It's not just fully office based. All in our big events, we're all given a role to do. So at TransMet Festival for the last 2 years, I have been Arts Reception and Arts Accreditation Manager. I was working on both of those roles. So dealing with making sure all the artists have got their accreditation ready for them coming on site, and then just dealing with any help or any questions that they have on the day as well. It's quite exciting. And at Connect Festival for the last 2 years as well, I managed the stage, which was really exciting. It was just a small stage called the Speakeasy, which I was just dealing with, making sure acts were where they needed to be, going on stage on time, coming off stage on time, making sure all the health and safety with the stage was all right as well. Another big part of my role is obviously, I think I mentioned it already, health and safety, just making sure that everything we do, all the risk assessments, all the cost sheets are there, making sure there's no carpets torn or things like that, or wires hanging loose or anything.
And so you do that for the concerts as well. Every concert, you're responsible for the health and safety.
No, not at all. We've got our promoter reps that are there for the health and safety of the concert. Yeah.
I was going to say that's a huge role, isn't it? I don't think I'd want to do a risk assessment for a concert, quite frankly. So, so managing the stage, I mean, that must be tricky. How do you, because we all know that thing where, especially if you've ever worked on front of house reception or you're an office manager with a multi-hatted role like being an assistant and receptionist and office manager, you have to go and knock and kick people out of rooms to keep them to time so that the next people can go in. How does that differ when you're dealing with people on a live stage in front of hundreds of people or thousands?
It was tricky. It was quite a learning curve dealing with that at the start, the first one. We had a lot of people that, when they were sent to a particular gate to pick up their accreditation to get on site, they went to the wrong gate, and they had like 15 minutes to get to my stage to go on stage. I was running around the festival site trying to find people, radio on different gates to find out if they were there, try to get someone to go and find them for me and bring them to me. So yeah, it was really, really tricky. But again, it's just like you said, like you have to be calm and truthful about it all, but inside you're just freaking out.
Kind of like an emergency disaster in the office as well. There's something about personalities, aren't there, in these roles, I think, and a certain amount of skill and person itself, the personable traits or the qualities of that person that makes them good at this role. And I imagine someone doing the events coordination like you did and managing the stage has to have similar traits and qualities to that of an office manager. So, very interesting.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.
How do people at your current workplace perceive your role? What interactions and feedback do you get with them about your office management role and the impact you have there?
They'll come to me, they can trust me to fix an issue that they have, big or small. They know that I'm going to deal with it in a friendly and approachable way. I'm not going to make them feel silly for asking a silly question, basically. I'll help them as much as I can. I also try and enable them to help themselves as well, show them how to find information on IT issues. We've got a whole catalogue of guides and things for IT issues. So just point people in the right direction of where to find stuff as well. I think they trust me. That's the thing. That's the big thing. They know they can come and ask me questions and I'll get things fixed for them. And they know I'm a very good problem solver as well. So if there is a bigger issue that they don't quite know where to go to, they'll come to me first. We'll have a one-to-one with my manager every 2 weeks, Fiona, and she's excellent. She's really been a great mentor for me coming into this role. She will give me feedback on anything that's come from the senior management team about what I've been doing. It's always been very good feedback I've got. I've not really had any negative feedback. With some people, issues that are out with my control have maybe come back to me that I've tried to fix.
And how many people are there in the offices? What does that look like?
So there's 47 people across the two offices. They're quite stretched out, quite a big team, big team. So yeah, I've got an assistant, Sam. He's been with me for just over a year now. He helps me with like the day-to-day stuff. He'll do all of the sorting out meeting rooms, making sure we've got milk, making sure we've got the photocopiers are all set up and stuff like that. So he's a big help to me. He'll do the day-to-day stuff for me, making sure that I can focus on the bigger picture things.
And what about your career now? If we start to move on to that, I can see that you were at Savills before this role and very much a career administrator and career office manager. Tell us more about that, if you can, please, and your journey to now, Lindsay.
Basically, I wasn't very into school, so I didn't really see myself going and doing further education or doing a degree or anything like that. When I left school, I started as an office junior in a solicitor's firm, and it just kind of grew from there. I moved about a few different solicitor firms over the years and eventually ended up in a small estate agent quite close to where I lived at the time. and then developed like quite an interest and passion in property and selling and things like that. So from there, and then eventually went to travel, where I was able to like progress in my career. I became the personal assistant to the head of the region for Scotland in the property section, because travel was quite a huge property business. So we were in the residential section. So I assisted Cameron in that, and I was also the secretary for a team of six, I think it was at the time. So I got a lot of experience in that. I think that's probably mostly where I grew my organisational skills, problem solving, all that kind of thing. I was also promoted to associate at Savills, which I was really proud about, because it wasn't, not many support staff were promoted to associate there. So it was a big achievement for me. But my overall ambition in life was to work in the music industry in some way. And when I saw that DF Concerts were looking, I applied straightaway.
And that's where you've ended up now at DF Concerts and Events. And it's nice, isn't it, when you have a sector in mind, but you can still do what you're good at, what you enjoy, i.e. being in office management or assistant roles prior to that, as you mentioned, but get into an industry that actually really piques your interest. And that's obviously what you found with DF Concerts and Events.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've been very lucky to get involved in this sector in a role that I know that I can do and can do well. Obviously, office manager and personal assistant, they're different roles, but there's a lot of transferable skills between both of them. Whereas like your organisation, problem solving, generally knowing how to speak to people, different types of people, different characters. I feel like I've managed to bring a lot of my skills over. And obviously, a lot of my job is looking after the buildings that we have. So working in property, I think, was quite an advantage to me, that I knew quite a bit about property that I'm able to transfer over to now looking after two offices.
Do you guys own the buildings, and so you have to deal with the facilities management side as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
So facilities management is a massive part of my day-to-day job. I'm quite lucky in the aspect that DF Concerts are part of Live Nation. I've got a property manager and a health and safety manager within Live Nation that I'm able to go to for any help and advice on stuff, and they've been great.
Yeah, very helpful having a mentor who knows more about property and the nuances of managing a property and all the different things that we have to deal with there. Because there's, I think in every element of an office manager role, there's all these, call it like a little bit of a spider web. You're the spider in the middle, and you're dealing with all these different things. It's why our logo, if anyone's ever looked at our logo for the group, and the podcast has got similar, well, the logo on it for the group has got this icon in the middle, and then all these leads coming off of it with other bubbles, and they kind of never finish, they sort of just disappear. And I think that was based on me trying to create a logo that was about the office management role and how you're sitting in the middle, and your streams, I suppose, just grow and evolve. And the more you do, and the more technology changes, and the more you evolve, the more the role evolves, and the more responsibilities and streams you get. So yeah, there's a lot to the roles.
There really is. There's a lot of different aspects to my day-to-day job. We've got like facilities management, like we've covered IT. I do a little bit of HR as well for our casual employees. I assist in any way that I can. I help write policies. I deal with running meetings if I have to, just making sure everything just runs smoothly. Do budgeting for the whole office. Is it for looking after the office, sorry, for the facilities management and health and safety side of things. Like I have to budget all that for the year. So it's a big change from what I did at Savills, but some of the stuff was, I do budget control and stuff at Savills as well. Like, you never stop learning. You have to continually improve on your skills and your knowledge of everything, basically.
Yeah. How do you do that yourself in your role? I mean, any tips to share for other people to keep learning and evolving themselves, that professional and personal development?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is really good for that kind of stuff. There's a lot on there, a lot like yourself, your podcast and your website and things like that. It's really helpful. Having a mentor, a big benefit as well. Just knowing who to go to for certain things. Like, what's people who in this company who can help with different things. Like our CEO, she was the head of finance. She's just recently been promoted to CEO. So I know I could go to her with any financial questions if I'm not sure on something. I know I'm comfortable enough to go back to her and ask. So it's good to make a lot of connections as well.
Yeah, that internal network and external network as well, isn't it? Leaning on and learning from other people, as well as courses and resources and all sorts. So yeah, just investing in yourself and giving yourself time to evolve. You mentioned there about the fact that there are cross skills, I guess, in between the office management and the assistant roles. What would you say are the main differences for anybody that perhaps is listening to this and has never really considered what the differences of the two roles are before, or is doing both and can't quite see what the differences are, or has never been in the admin profession and they're looking to get into it and they want to know the difference between the two roles. What for you, having done both, are the clear-cut distinctions between being an assistant and being an office manager?
So being an assistant, you're generally just working with the one person, or maybe if you have a couple of executives you look after, but it tends to just be the one person. Your days are very similar. Obviously, you'll have the occasional traveling issue or some problem that you need to solve quite quickly. Whereas in office management, like, my days are never the same. They're hard to plan. It's really, really hard to make a to-do list for the day and actually get it completed, because so many different things come at you at once. It's really hard to plan your day. So yeah, I think that's the difference. Like, the there's so much going on at all times.
If I were to push you, which would you say you prefer?
Office management, I think. It keeps things interesting. Not all your days are the same, so you're not going to be like having a long drawn out day just sitting and typing or something like that, for example, when you're an assistant. Whereas in here, my days fly by. Like, there's not enough hours in the day for me to get everything done.
And that keeps us satisfied, going home going, oh my god, I didn't get half my list done.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Once you've found it and it suits you, it's very difficult to go back. It was the same for me. Once I'd found office management, I couldn't go back to being an assistant. I really struggled with, like you say, working for just one person or a team of people, and it being a little bit more monotonous and repetitive day to day of booking meetings, booking travel, getting minutes sorted or board packs and agendas sorted, kicking them out of meeting rooms, grabbing coffees and lunches. There was a whole host of responsibilities for sure. And again, it was still diverse, but yeah, nothing compared to the office management role. And I guess the feeling it gave me going home at night and thinking, God, yeah, I've really made a difference today. Do you find the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I do go home with a satisfaction every day that I've fix the problem that has maybe been dragging on for a wee while. You finally get to the bottom of it and sort it. Yeah, great feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah, that's self-satisfaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's talk hurdles in this profession. What have perhaps been your hurdles? Is this your first office management role that you're doing at present? Oh, you had one before, didn't you? I saw.
Yeah, I was, but it was a tiny office. Like, there's only like three people in it, and I was one of them. So it wasn't anything like CF Concerts. Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle coming into CF Concerts was I came from a really corporate background, like Savills. You had to wear smart clothes every day, you had to be presentable, well, not presentable, but like had to just be really smart every day, dealt with a lot of executives, just a lot of really stuck in their ways professionals, I think would maybe we call them. Whereas coming into CF Concerts, it's night and day. Like, everyone's just so lovely and friendly, but even coming in, like, I can wear a pair of jeans, I can just wear like casual clothes, just my normal clothes every day, not have to worry about that. You're allowed to have your phone in your desk, you're allowed to pop away from your desk and go for a chat with people, which is what a big part of my job is, like, because I work between both offices. I spend a lot of time going and seeing how everybody is, like, I walk between both of them multiple times a day, so there's a lot of like just checking in with everyone as well. I think the biggest hurdles, so coming away from the corporate side and relaxing a little bit into my role and not feeling like I had to be constantly at my desk, constantly answering emails as soon as they came in, was a bit more like freedom in that sense. Obviously, a big hurdle of starting a new job is the learning curve. Like, there was a lot to learn, like, especially health and safety, and I just don't know that I'll ever fully learn everything to do with health and safety policies and procedures. And getting to know different personality types as well, as because we are a big office of 48 people. Everyone's got a different personality, and it's just learning how to communicate with each different personality type as well. We've got some people who like really short emails, just straight to the point. They want that information there so they can see it at a glance. Whereas other people like all the facts, so you want to send them a big long email. So it's just knowing, getting used to all of that.
You're in an assistant role, you get to know your personalities quite quickly and how they like you say, to be communicated to or updated on or whatever, whether they like the facts and the figures and the devil in the detail, or if they just want quick, short, sharp, done, or not even done. Some people don't even like the updates. They just want to know that you're taking care of it, and they don't want to know. It's such a bigger scale when you're in an office management role to be able to, it's emotional intelligence as well, right? To be able to communicate to people at their different levels and requirements in terms of, like you say, the personality differences and the requirements they're in. So yeah, it's very interesting. And health and safety is one. Maybe I'll do a tip on some more health and safety in the episodes coming up. But Yeah, it's always one where you've got to keep on top of it, keep your finger on the pulse and keep learning. So is there a hybrid policy there? Do people work from home? Are they all in? What's the setup like?
The majority of our teams are all in 5 days a week, or some of our teams do 2 days at home and are in 3 days. But just after COVID, I started in here in 2021, December 2021. So then we went into another lockdown over that kind of Christmas period. When I came back, we were doing like more hybrid working. We had to start like a rota and make sure that there wasn't too many people in the one room at one time, that kind of thing. But since that's all been over, everyone prefers to be in the office. There's a lot of collaboration through our teams, so it's good for people just to be able to pop upstairs or pop to the next building and have a chat about something rather than continually be on Zoom calls or emailing.
Yeah, because it can be really cumbersome and tiring, can't it? Spending all day on Teams and you don't get the same impact and effect that you do versus meeting people in person and having quick chats. So I am back this week with another tip. And as I alluded to in the last episode, I'm going to share a little bit more about strategic partnership and how you can implement this in your office management role. We've mentioned in this episode quite poignantly that getting industry news, staying in touch with the industry or the sector that your business lies in is really key and can help you align and be much more strategic for your business and get you in this kind of strategic mindset that you need to be in. Speaking to the experts in the company and asking them for an informal catch-up, maybe every quarter or something like that, for 15 minutes, half an hour, and having a coffee and preparing for that meeting, as I've said in previous tips, making sure you prepare for every meeting is really important, and pulling out or extracting from them information that is relevant and important to you to understand what's happening in the industry or the sector, but also what may then impact your role. Doing research or reading up on the company website or competitor websites, looking at the latest news section, or Googling or using your web browser if Google's not for you, typing in latest news in the property sector or in the finance sector or in private equity or fintech or whatever else it might be that your company does. Google those words and have a look at the top few news articles and searches. Yeah, looking at the company newsletter if they share one, or any blogs or articles that the company has written on the website again, or perhaps on LinkedIn. What are they talking about? What is going on in that sector? Asking your boss directly what's happening, what's coming up. That will vary depending on what your boss, what your line manager is responsible for and their role there, but you would assume, given they are more senior than you, that they are more in touch potentially with the company itself and the sector and everything else that's happening around that business. How can I help and add more value? And are there ways that you can see that you can add more value? And can you open the doors and ask people about that? Ask your line manager, or prompt questions and answers as to how you can add more value to the company as a result of the latest trends, news, innovations, etc., for that sector, and get a little bit more strategic in your role. How do you, as the office manager, balance some of that? Is it hot desking that you have, or do people have fixed desks? And what's the culture like around hybrid working?
Yeah, everyone has a fixed desk. We've got a couple of hot desks for, like I said, we are part of Live Nation. So sometimes people from Live Nation will be up, we'll give them a desk if they need it. But most people are just kind of happy with it the way it is. They've got the option if they want to work from home one day a week. I also have that option. But I just prefer, I think my job's much easier to do in the office.
Yeah, 100%. I think I may have mentioned it before on the podcast, but if not, I've definitely said it in courses and things where I do recruitment for office management roles. And the amount of applications that we get, despite the fact that on the adverts it will say 5 days in office or whatever it might be, where people say, can I do this job remotely? And they're applying from Wales or somewhere, and it's in London. It's like, you absolutely can't. It's an office manager role, and we need you here. Who else is going to sort out the coffee machines or check that the cleaning standards are up to scratch and run the meeting rooms or whatever the degree of that role is? You've touched on it already a few times. People, trust, communication, different personalities, the faith in that you're going to get the job done and help them do their job is really key. And I don't think you can do that fully remotely, and it won't have the same impact.
Anytime that I have had to have a day from home, I've had so many calls being like, oh, there's something wrong that I really should have been here to deal with and haven't. So I've had to pass that on to my assistant Sam. And he's great. He deals with them really well as well. But it just seemed to be every single time that I have tried to work from home, there's just been an issue. So I'm like, not worth it.
Called Sod's Law.
Absolutely.
It is mad, isn't it? Because I remember having the same when we didn't have sort of a strict hybrid policy or anything like that, but I could work from home in previous office manager roles ad hoc. And it was one of those Friday work from home once in every blue moon and try and get some bits done that I just couldn't otherwise, because I had a team of sort of 8-10 people in most of my later office management roles. And just to catch up, because I'd be in meetings to meetings to meetings to meetings most of the day. So it would be a get paperwork, you know, get shit done day, as I used to call it. But then there would generally always be something that would go on. And my team could pretty much sort it on the ground, but you'd get that. It's almost like what I call mum guilt. Now I'm a mum. Like, I'd get that guilt of like, oh God, I should really be there supporting my team and making sure. And I guess it's a bit of a control freak in me as well. Like, make sure it's done really, really well and perfectly, because I know that's above so-and-so's desk and they're a pain in the ass and they're going to hate this or whatever it might be. So it's challenging, to say the least. Can you now please, Lindsay, share something from your office manager diary? And you won't believe it, but a moment.
So it actually follows on nicely to one day that I was working from home. I got a call at 6 o'clock from our head of comms, Susan, who is the most chilled, the calmest person I've ever met. Like, that's why she's head of crisis comms. She phoned me and she was like, oh, Lindsay, there's a leak in the office. Because we'd had like a sudden downpour, like more rain than I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, no, that's terrible. Let me just jump in the car and I'll jump into the office, because it was 6 o'clock. She was the last one leaving. And she sent me a video as I was driving and I'd stopped at traffic lights and I'd looked at it. And when she said it was a leak, I expected a leak. There was actually an indoor waterfall within the office, just pouring down through the staircase from the skylight at the top. And it continued like that for about 3 hours. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. You can't stop the water coming in because it was still raining. We couldn't figure out where, like, why it didn't, like, the ceiling hadn't come down or anything like that. It was the skylight was still fully intact, but it was like a shower. Someone had turned on a shower in the office. And we've also got King Tut's, our venue, underneath us. And the guys from King Tut's came up and they're like, the water's now coming in to us. So the show that night had to be cancelled their last minute. Thankfully, the damage to King Tut's was very minimum, which was a little bit stained in the ceiling, and they were able to be back up and running within the next day. I had to phone my boss Fiona because I just simply didn't know what to do. And she came in as well. So me, Susan and Fiona were just standing in the soaking wet hall, like, how do we get this to stop? I phoned, got a really good relationship with one of our contractors who's a roofer. So I phoned him and I was like, is there any chance you can come and have a look? And he was like, absolutely, I don't know what we will do if the water's coming in. But he came out, and it turned out that we've got an overflow on the roof, and we get seagulls nesting on the roof as well. And they had been like pecking at it and managed to flip the filter around. So the filter had completely blocked, and that's why the water just pulled up and then just came down. So yeah, that was a very, very stressful time. On 6 o'clock on a Friday night. But it was fine. We managed to get dehumidifiers in and dryers and things, and the office was back open on the Tuesday for everyone. So it wasn't too bad. But
not
I couldn't believe it.
It's funny, isn't it? Susan needs to change her language from a leak to a flood.
I was speaking to Susan about this yesterday, because I was talking to her about coming onto this, and she was like, it started as a leak. So it had, when she first went out to saw it was just dripping. And then the more it rained.
The more it poured.
Yeah.
I was laughing a lot then, because, and I feel, I'm sure we've done so many episodes on this podcast now, so forgive me, listeners, if you have heard about this already, but there was a time when I was at JP Morgan and a similar thing happened. I think I talked about it very recently, actually, and everyone was like, Hannah, Hannah, Hannah. And it was just pouring the water onto these trading desks. Typically, it was the trading desk with like 8 to 12 screens each on them, so the sparks were starting to fly.
Oh,
but it was the same thing where it started as just a drip, and then it was like a permanent flow, but still just like a running tap, and then it was waterfall.
Yeah.
And it was huge, and the ceiling started to sort of pop in. And back then we didn't have smartphones, we had Blackberries or Crackberries, as we used to call them. And everybody started filming it, because that was kind of in the day where you did start having cameras on your phones. And it was going around the investment banks that JP Morgan had this waterfall in their offices. But it happens, because there is water running everywhere in these buildings, much like at home. So especially when we get downpours from the wonderful weather, as you say. So yeah, very, Very interesting. And it's good that you've got that contact, that the roofer you mentioned, because that is so important to have those relationships of people, even if you never seemingly need them, just to have the connections, bring them in for a coffee so that they know you and you've got that personal connection. So if these things ever happen, they're on tap, excuse the pun and the reference to water again, but they're on tap for you, right, to come in and pull in and do you a favor, because it impacts the business otherwise, and it impacts your role. So
Yes, that's definitely really important to keep them sweet. Not sweet as such, just be nice to them, treat them with respect and stuff, and just make sure that they know that they can come to me if they have a question as well. Obviously they won't, but just having known who to go to for different things and just having a good relationship with them, it is really key.
really important. So, any specific tips or nuggets of wisdom that you can now share with people listening who perhaps are aspiring to be in the profession? Maybe they've followed the same trajectory as you, where they've been an administrator, assistant, and they want to get into office management or even to evolve more. We've talked about the learning and development already, but any other nuggets to share to get more responsibility, autonomy, or just to get into the profession?
To get a little bit more responsibility in your role, I think it's really important to feel comfortable with your manager, to have conversations like that with them. If you wanted to take on a little bit more responsibility, you should be able to go and have that chat with your manager. And if you're doing well in your job, your manager will see that you are capable of dealing with that as well. So it's really good to have that kind of relationship. Also, just reading up, like I read a lot of books on working in the music industry, even though my role within the music industry doesn't have all that much to do with music, except from in the summer shows, I still learn about what all our different departments done. So it's obviously important if you to do your research, if you're going for a particular role for the company that you're going to work at. I think that's really important. And just in general, just like try and expand your knowledge as much as you can.
Yeah, brilliant. Industry knowledge is really
Yeah.
important. I often say, again, in training or mentoring people, to just carve out 15 minutes a month. That's all it is. Just put it in your diary and just read up, Google like latest articles on your industry or trends, or read the newsletter that your comms team or marketing team send around about your company, or go on the website and read a blog the company's written on, whatever it is. But 15 minutes. You can read an article or two in that time and just stay a little bit more tuned in and wised up to what's happening, and that will really help, as you say, it helps you partner with the company more effectively.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you now? So your career aspirations, where do you see yourself or want to be in the future, Lindsay?
So I think I'd said, I can't remember if I'd said earlier, but my goal had always been to work in the music industry. So I'm really, really happy and settled in this role now. I know that there's a lot still I can learn and progress in my career, but maybe not upwards within the next couple of, maybe the next 5 years. But I can certainly take on more responsibilities, like take side steps and take on maybe more HR responsibilities and just grow that way, grow within my current role, just expand it a little bit. Yeah, very happy here. I know that it's taken me maybe about until now to be fully settled in and comfortable knowing that I know enough that people will come to me and know that I've got the answer for them.
Yeah, that true go-to person.
Yeah.
Can you share a time when you implemented something like a process or perhaps an initiative that significantly improved the efficiency of the office or perhaps employee satisfaction there?
Yeah, so I actually, when I first started, I implemented an office newsletter. I know you just mentioned that they're good to read. Obviously, we have Live Nation send out newsletters as well, but ours is predominantly based about office news, employee news. So I implemented that, which has had great feedback. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves to read because we add some, like, it's not all just serious stuff. We like add that someone's had a baby, someone's birthday, big birthday, or something like that. I also started a program of like staff events. So we have payday drinks, we have a closing party after a summer event, which is usually quite a big one. The first one I put on was a comedy night. And it's just a great way for everyone just to relax after a really full-on 3 months over the summer. That's also had really good feedback. So I think I have come in and done a lot for staff satisfaction, employee satisfaction, and just general well-being.
Yeah, and bringing that culture up and together as well, isn't it? Because the
It's
more
really
you
important after
share.
COVID, where everyone was working from home and really separate. And obviously, because we've got two offices, it's really important to get the offices together, so there's everyone still seeing each other as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing that a lot of people have looked at the office manager to do, haven't they, in this time and since COVID, is fix it, get people back together, get people back in the office. So it's a huge task, really, but it sounds like there's a good attitude towards working in the office and coming together and collaborating in person, which is hopefully making your job in some ways easier despite the multitude of responsibilities that you have on your shoulders. Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been great to get to know you better. Thank you for being a guest on the Office Manager Diaries with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great chatting to you.
Whoa, listener, don't leave me just yet. I have something really exciting to share with you. We are back again hosting the Office Management Show in 2024. This is going to be on the 24th of April this year, and we've got so many things in store for you. This is an exhibition and conference rolled into one day in London. I appreciate we've got loads of international listeners, and I'm so sorry that this is an in-person event, but the seminar sessions can be bought online afterwards at any time in the Office Management portal. So if you aren't a member of that, do register for a free account. And once the show has finished in April, we will put the sessions that are recorded on there for you to listen back to. But for those that can get to London, please do join us. It's completely free to get your ticket from our website, theofficemanagementgroup.com/the-show. We've got some incredible speakers lined up, including our keynote speaker, Naomi Riches, MBE, who is a Paralympic champion. She is going to take our VIP breakfast for the day, and it's just £25 for a ticket to attend that breakfast. There's people like myself speaking on health and safety. We've got Excel, AI, confidence and difficult conversations, culture, sustainability. There's so many hot and incredible topics. You do not want to miss this, as well as over 40 exhibitors showcasing their products and services to you. It is completely free to register, to get a ticket and to attend. There is a small fee of £15 to attend any and all of the seminar sessions that you wish to, and a £25 fee to join us at the VIP breakfast, and breakfast is included in that ticket price. 24th of April 2024 in London. Go to our website www.theofficemanagementgroup.com/the-show for all the information and to register for your free ticket. I look forward to seeing you then.